Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. And on this show, we will share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this show. We share the Word and we pray that God will open up your hearts today to receive the Word and give you spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. So we like to start the program with a scripture reading. And being Thanksgiving weekend, I'm going to the thankful verse. This is Psalm 100. I'm going to read the entire psalm. I just love the psalms. It goes like this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Again, that's Psalm 100. Give it a read if you haven't been to Psalm 100. Enter with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Thanks for joining us today. I want to let you know we have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes. We also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Please give it a visit. Leave us a comment. Share with us whatever your prayer request might be. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Fox on Faith. With Lauren Green.
We may celebrate Thanksgiving once a year, but being thankful is a state of mind and a way of living that is not only a universal virtue, but has lifelong health benefits too. Author Diana Butler Bass.
Scientists have done an amazing amount of work in neuroscience and psychology and medicine, and they've discovered that people who are grateful have better health outcomes, are less stressed, are more aware.
Bass's new book, Grateful, explores the transformative power of giving thanks. While Thanksgiving is a federal holiday with religious overtones, it is one that all faiths can celebrate, or even those without a stated religion. But Bass says, unfortunately, our political divisions today have created a toxic habitat, poisoning the concept of gratitude. All the more reason, she says, to give thanks, because being thankful can help heal us and heal our broken relationships.
Let us give thanks, not as a demand, but as an invitation to remember what binds us together.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
And then you're out. Not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And happy Thanksgiving weekend. This is Jeff Gaffney of Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in today. With us on the program, we have my friend Shannon Kennedy. Shannon, thanks for joining us on this weekend.
I'm happy to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
We like to start this show with a little bit about your faith journey. So could you share with our listeners how you came to faith?
Sure can. I'm happy to do so. You know, it's interesting because I share a background in sports like you do. Didn't quite reach the same level of success, but I grew up in an area in southern Indiana that could fairly be called impoverished in those days. Not running water, not electricity, not those kinds of things. And it was your classical Hoosiers movie scene. And really found out very early on that God had gifted me with some athletic ability that I made full use of. The interesting thing about that is, though, that in an environment like that where there's not a lot of opportunity for recreation and a lot of opportunities for diversions from the work that everybody's doing, sports was unusually important to people there, and I think that's part of the reason for the whole Hoosier hysteria phenomenon. As I grew up being an athlete, I found I had an extraordinary ability to really score. I was an offensive player, had a gift for scoring lots of points in a game, and that even brought me more attention than I deserved at the time. But didn't realize over the years how much that was defining me as a human being. I was given a lot of dispensation for a lot of things I should have been corrected on. I wasn't necessarily expected to do well in school. I wasn't expected to do well socially. I wasn't expected much of anything except put them up there on the weekends. And in college, went on to college on a basketball scholarship and had an even more successful freshman year than I expected. I finished in the top 10 in scoring in the United States. I broke all our school records for freshman scoring. I had, for the season, I had a game high of 51 points one night that set a Coliseum record.
You and LeBron.
So, yeah, I'm no LeBron. I don't mean to paint that picture, but the problem was that this was somewhat unexpected, but also I was not prepared to handle all of that. So as a sophomore returning with high hopes, came to my first real test, my first real adversity in my life, which was I found out from the equipment manager that I was not even going to dress for travel games. I had no uniform, and it came as a real shock to me personally and a lot of people around me, and there was controversy and all of these things. And just to be blunt, I did not have the character to respond appropriately to the circumstances. I certainly didn't have the biblical foundation to rely on. I got bad counsel. I'm not blaming anybody, but I just didn't handle it well. And by Christmas, I had left that team. Hard part there was that team finished second in the nation that year. I lost to UCLA in the final game, and I got to watch that on TV. With all my teammates doing really well. But this started a spiral, and it really started a work God immediately began in me right there to say, things got to change. I didn't recognize it at the time. But it started a spiral of loss of identity, loss of confidence, loss of will to do the right thing. I turned to all of the predictable alternatives to feeling good again with alcohol abuse, drug use, abusing relationships, just not being a guy you'd want to be around very much. But I was angry. I was bitter. I was depressed. I was entitled. I was all those things that you can do when you're focused upon yourself and not outside of yourself in terms of what's really going on around you. This carried over into the workplace. I actually left school early, quit my senior year, didn't even bother to stay and play. And that's how much I had kind of lost my drive. And after all those years of training and working and all of that, you kind of give up right when you finally might be able to redeem yourself. Went out and worked, and all of those habits carried right over into the workplace again. And I found that I was not doing well at work. I was failing my bosses. I was failing my company. I was failing myself and everybody around me. And I happened to be selling a product in the home one night in Dayton, Ohio, right outside of there. And believe it or not, in the midst of all of this, after we finished up the paperwork, I could tell there was something different in this household. It was just an overwhelming sense of spirit that I had no idea, you know, what I was experiencing. But I was so bottomed out that I just said, okay, I've been in a lot of houses. This one's different. What's going on? And I remember it was just a young couple, and he smiled, and without turning around, he looked at his wife, and they smiled, and he knew just what he wanted to do, and within reach, he had his Bible. And he pulled it out. He read me Romans 10:9, and then he said, can we pray for you? And I was so taken aback by what had happened that I said, no, thank you. I left. I was scared, frankly, because being confronted now with who I was and what I had just heard and what I knew those people had is really a forced choice at that point. Do you give that up or do you hold on to whatever you think you want in your life? And fortunately for me, as I drove away in the dark in Dayton, Ohio that night, that spirit that was in their house, just the only way I can describe it is he followed me in my car. And I don't know how far I got, But obviously, it very quickly became apparent that I had never really heard that entire scripture. Mm-hmm. That entire scripture basically says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and it goes on to say, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I probably thought I had already believed that, but it became immediately clear Jesus was not my Lord, I was my Lord. And the condemnation of that was overwhelming. The guilt from that was overwhelming. The sorrow from that was overwhelming. And in an instant, really what happened was I realized nobody was at fault for any of the things that had happened to me in my life other than my own will, my own desire to control my own destiny, and my desire to sit in the God seat rather than let him be in it. So I immediately said, here's the steering wheel. We're done. Mm-hmm. I'm not driving anymore. I don't ever want to drive again. Mm-hmm. If you want me to burn the license, I will, but I'm done. Mm-hmm. You got to take this thing over.
Mm-hmm.
So it was extremely emotional for me at that moment, and I can't even really tell you what happened next other than I was so down and out. I was living with my sister and brother-in-law. I couldn't afford my own place. I drove home. I evidently told them what had happened to me, and they immediately went upstairs, knelt down, prayed the sinner's prayer, gave their lives to Christ.
Wow.
I didn't know this, but they have, for the last 30 years, pastored a church in Florida, in Lakeland, Florida. Their lives turned upside down immediately from something that I have no recall of even happening.
This is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have my good friend Shannon Kennedy with us on the program. He's sharing his faith journey. Shannon, I have to jump in and ask this question. Does the husband and wife that you were meeting in their house in Dayton, Ohio, do they have any idea the impact that they had on you? Was there ever any circling back with them, or was that they did their thing and you know, God worked through them, and do they know?
You know, this is a great topic, because they do know, because the next day I couldn't help but call them because I was so appreciative. Mm. I got to thinking about how they must feel, because as far as they knew, they tried.
Yeah.
That guy left, and on to the next person, but they did what they could. And I think that should be an encouragement to anybody who ever thinks they're really trying and they're witnessing and they're doing that work. This work had to be the Holy Spirit's to make me get past that line to say, I give up.
Go back to the night in their house. If you can kind of dig, and we only have a couple of minutes for the break.
Mm-hmm.
If you can kind of dig into your memory and think about what was it that was different about them. What did you experience in their home? What was it about them? Was there a Holy Spirit glow? Was there a peace about them? Was there a joy about them? Can you put your finger on anything?
There was both peace and joy. With the couple, it was very apparent that they, you know, and this was a young couple, and I was selling something that was somewhat expensive, and I'd seen all the reactions in the world, and you'd been trained to sell, and there's the pressure, and there's all those things. And there was no bitterness back and forth, any nervousness, anxiety, or whatever. They would look at each other, they'd nod, they almost knew each other so well. In a different way that they could tell what the other was thinking at the moment, and they really didn't have to have a lot of discussion. That being said, when it came time to go ahead and make a choice, what I had been selling, they had literally been thinking about the biblical implications and drawing parallels between the product and what their biblical teaching was. So they were in a totally different place, which was why they were so peaceful. But in addition to that, the house had an overwhelming sense of just still and peace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, all I can tell you is it was the first major impression I was able to discern the Holy Spirit and say, this makes a real difference. Mm. This really is something that can be noticeable in a home.
Last question as we head to the break, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. At that moment in time, as you think back into your memory bank, can you now say that couple had something you wanted?
Absolutely,
you were able to discern that there was something missing in you that they had.
Absolutely, the contrast was overwhelming, because There was nothing peaceful about me. There was nothing joyful about me. Everything was striving and everything was self-oriented. And they didn't seem to have any of those same concerns about self. Mm-hmm. You could tell they were kind of living in a realm that was focused on the other rather than themselves. Mm. And the fact that that could be possible was just really appealing to me.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest, Shannon Kennedy. Please stay with us, and I hope you're having an awesome Thanksgiving weekend.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Charlottesville's Grand Illumination is on November 30th on the Downtown Mall. Festivities begin at 5:30, followed by a 7:30 p.m. tree lighting and an 8 p.m. showing of Home Alone at the Paramount Theater. Albemarle High School's Computer Science Honor Society is hosting a family tech night on December 6th. There are activities for students from kindergarten through high school. For more information, Google Family Tech Night at Albemarle High School. Hospice of the Piedmont's Dining Around the Area coupon book is now available. For more info, go to hopva.org. All proceeds benefit Hospice of the Piedmont. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And when you're out of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. On the program today, we have my friend Shannon Kennedy, who just walked us through his faith journey. I have so many questions, but there's lots more questions. Let me get to one. In the book of Acts, in the Bible, New Testament, the story of Paul's life, when I listen to your story, Shannon, and where I am in your story is you just met with this couple. They walk you through Romans 10 and the, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and rose from the dead, then you will be saved. That verse gets a hold of you. You have this car moment later, driving away by yourself, kind of a Holy Spirit where God is kind of pointing, knocking. And then ultimately, kind of prodigal son wise, kind of embracing you at that moment and saying, you know, it's about time, Shannon, but welcome home. Then you get home. Did you say it was your brother and sister-in-law?
Sister and brother-in-law.
Sister and brother-in-law. Yeah. You share with them what you did. They go up. They confess and commit their lives to Christ. And what I'm seeing in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it's a little similarity here. Just so give me a little leeway on this. Paul is in jail and miraculously is freed from the chains. And the jailer, the Roman officer who was in charge of the jail, He thinks he's lost the prisoner, so he knows he's going to be executed. So he decides to take his own life. And Paul comes up, stops him, and says, "Hey, don't do that. We're alive. We're here. It's all good." And the man says, "What must I do to be saved?" And then Paul says, "Well, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And so, my point in this, the very next scene, I believe, in some of our Bible studying listeners will let me know exactly what verse this is, but the very next scene, Paul is with the jailer and his entire family, and the entire family gets saved. And it's where I was headed. That was a long way heading towards the ripple effect and it really kind of starts back with the couple who was strong, rooted in Christ. They saw that you were in need of transformation in your life, and they were strong enough, brave enough to share their faith with you, share it with you. Amazing turnabout in your life, But then the ripple effect, that's where I was headed, to your sister and brother-in-law. It's just, you know, as I was listening to your story, I was like, wow, I've seen this played. I've read this story in a beautiful way.
Yep. Truly. And the transformation was really dramatic. I love Paul, by the way, because being a competitive guy, and he calls himself the chief of sinners, and I'm determined that I'm right there with him, neck and neck. I know I'm competitive with him on that issue. But it really, the ripple effect wasn't just outward. It was, I had an overwhelming desire to go be baptized. And again, without really a biblical grounding or basis for doing that, I just felt compelled to go do that. My brother-in-law went with us, and also got baptized at the same time. And it was really interesting. We were talking to the pastor, and my brother-in-law, you could immediately see him being intrigued with the idea of how many lives you must touch as a pastor. And he goes, well, if you really want to get people, you want to be like my twin brother, who's a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And we were alarmed by that. And he said, no, really, they don't come to him expecting to hear about God. And he gets them when they're off guard. Mm-hmm. The irony there is my brother became a pastor and I eventually became a psychologist. And it was very funny. We were in that context at the time. But everything changed inwardly, and everything changed outwardly for me immediately following that. It was pretty much a transformed mind. Mm. I didn't find myself thinking the same way I had. It was a transformed set of habits. We've talked about that before as athletes, where you kind of are the product of what you practice. And I started practicing very differently after that. Becoming open for God to act in really miraculous ways that I didn't know were possible. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that the transformation would include intervention to the extent that when somebody else really is leading, and you have the ability to be strong enough to follow, even though it's scary sometimes, that he can take you to places where you never, ever have even been able to imagine. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I kind of attached myself right there to Ephesians 3 and that topic where it is talking about the fact that, you know, now to him who's able to do more than all that we can believe or even imagine, he's the one. And those scriptures were to carry me through the next years of my life, where I went back to, did some amazing things. I went back to a relationship that I had messed up before, because I couldn't understand the nature of that relationship. But here was a person who had, the only person I ever really felt had loved me unconditionally, and I didn't recognize that for what that was at the time. But now that you were approached and confronted with real unconditional love for the first time in your life, not what you thought your value was that you brought to people, whatever that might be, it was like, oh, that's a love that I could go pursue. And we've now been married 38 years. Quickly went back to college because I realized how badly I had messed up that whole first round, and that my education or lack of what I had done, I did get a degree, but I was not making good use of it and wasn't in anything I wanted to do. So decided to go back to college, and 6 years later was able to finish a PhD, which led me down a whole nother path that I none of that would I ever been able to believe. In fact, the people that knew me before and after still didn't believe that was me going and doing these things in his strength, though, not in my own this time.
This is Everyday Faith Radio, and with us on the program today, sharing his faith journey, is my good friend Shannon Kennedy, and we hope you're having an awesome Thanksgiving weekend. Shannon, let me give you a verse and see if this applies to you. I was just sharing this with our sweet friend Joyce out in the lobby before we got here. You'll know it. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. How can you speak to that in your life?
You know, it's an everyday thing. Mm-hmm. It's an everyday renewal. And it wasn't that I was incapable now of you know, succumbing to my human condition. It was, for the first time in my life, I was aware of it when it surfaced. It wasn't that I had been perfected. It's that I knew perfection for the first time in my life, and I knew where to turn to get it. So I had recourse. I had somebody on my side of the the game that I knew had already won that game. Mm. And if I just stayed on that team, I'm going to win. Mm. And as an athletic metaphor, that was a nice feeling, all of the tension gone out of that. But with the new creation, it was really coming through him and following as opposed to leading and letting him reveal to you gifts that you didn't know you had. I had pretty much been one-dimensional in my beliefs about how I was made, what I was capable of doing, and what my purpose had been. And at 19 years old, that evaporated due to my own doing. Mm. So when that loss occurs, it's like there is nothing else. And he was just getting started with trying to show you on a day-to-day basis, not just for me, but for all the listeners out there too, what are the things that I've knitted into you? What are those special opportunities that you have to follow and let me reveal myself to you in that new creation in an everyday way?
And do you feel like you're still growing in Christ-likeness today?
You know, it's a fascinating thing. There was a wonderful quote by Charles Spurgeon that I want to read here, because he said, "When you take up the sword, begin the fight at home, and you will find you have your hands full."
Hmm.
And I love that, because the more into the Lord and the more into his world and his word and all of those things I become, in a wonderful way, the less I feel I become and the more he becomes, mm-hmm. which feels right.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't what I would have thought would be what you'd be after here. It's mm-hmm. like, what about me? What about all of these things? Mm-hmm. But yeah, what I really feel like is the condition that I'm in as a human being becomes more and more apparent to me. Seems like there's no bottom to that ever. And his grace and mercy also have no bottom to match that. So
beautiful.
I live by Lamentations 3:22.
I love it.
And it is, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I have that on my wall in my house. I've had that on my wall at work. I've had that everywhere I've ever gone, because I need that. Mm-hmm. I need that renewal every day.
We're heading to the end of the program. This is Everyday Faith Radio with our friend Shannon Kennedy on the program. And Shannon, let me just ask you the one final question. Any of our listeners just happened onto the program today? They don't know Jesus. They don't have faith. Is there anything that you would want to say to them, and particularly somebody who's listening today that maybe they are at the place you were in that home in Dayton, Ohio, so many years ago, where there's something missing. They're down. They want this peace and this joy that's missing in their life. What would you say to them?
Well, my reaction to that is that this faith is a gift, and it's available for anyone who will ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing gift. It's one that I think if people feel as I did about myself, we're undeserving of it. We can't comprehend it. It seems a bit too good to be true. The world all around us is telling us that there are other things that are superior to that choice. And all I can say to you is there's not. It may feel like a free fall, but once you take it, what you'll feel is that you've now got a steel rod in your back. You have a new walk in your life. You know your value for real. You know that you will have a purpose in God, and nothing can exceed that experience.
Shannon Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us on Everyday Faith, and we'll see you all next weekend.
Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore.